104.5 The Zone with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
This is the Midday Money
served up by Wendy's on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Just like that, it's 1 o'clock, 102 the time. Fast-paced show today. We've got the pedal-powered happy hour this afternoon, downtown Nashville. Crew's all here today. David Reed is the chairman of the board. John McClain is about to join us.
There is something on the screen right now that says Victor Oladipo watches 3 movies every night before he goes to bed. Home Alone, Shrek, and Mulan.
The same 3 movies?
The same 3 movies every night before.
It's like Groundhog Day.
How do you have 6 hours to sit there and watch movies every night? Maybe
and
you should be working on his jumper.
Why those 3?
Oh, I mean, I read that as he chooses one of those 3 every night to put on as he falls asleep. That's how I would take that.
Well, the question is, how do you watch the same movies every night? You may be right. Maybe rotate them, but...
This is a testament to not
watching
this show.
I thought it was like a marathon
of all 3. What show is this?
I don't care. I didn't even want to mention the show. I just saw it on the screen. And
it's on the Deuce, and it reminds me of Deuce.
Apologies. That was ADD radio by me, but it just really struck me that that was a thing.
John McClain joins us. John, the last movie you watched was?
Let me think a minute.
Spring Breakers.
The movie with Ben Kingsley played Adolf Eichmann. Operation Finale.
Oh, yeah. How was Oscar Isaac in that movie, too?
Yeah, it was. Ben Kingsley was great, as always.
Awesome. John, AFC South, right now, the Titans 2-0 in the division, and back-to-back weeks, they have knocked off the 2 teams that many picked to finish ahead of them at season's end. And while it's still early in the year, the way they've been able to pull off these 2 wins, given the situation and the injury front that they've faced... pretty remarkable.
I believe that Paul Kuharski should rerun that 50-inch column I wrote on Mike Vrabel when he was on vacation and posted it.
Darn phone.
Again, what I wrote. And because Mike has done a fantastic coaching job. Right now, he and Adam Gase. And Adam Gase, though, has not had to deal with injuries. Ryan Tannehill's 10-1 with a 105 rating in his last 11 starts, where having to play with Gabbert and then come back to Mariota and throw for, 117 and 100 yards the last 2 games. Not only is it a great game plan and great in-game coaching, he's getting the players to carry it out the way he wants it. Mike has just done a tremendous job.
What happened with Houston on Sunday against the Giants?
Fell behind early, as they did at Tennessee, 14-0 up there. 14, then they came ahead and went ahead 17-14. Defense couldn't stop Gabbert on 2 field goal drives at the end. This one, they fought back down 20-3, got within 20-15. Defense couldn't stop 77-yard touchdown drive. Now everybody wants Bill O'Brien fired.
What's the biggest concern right now for the Texans, John?
Their offensive line again. They had 4 new starters, 3 free agents, and a rookie left tackle. They lost their right tackle, moved the left tackle to right tackle where he's never played. He's had 5 false starts in the last 2 games, 6 penalties overall. The left tackle, Martinez Rankin, missed 3 months of the offseason program. He looks like he's going through the preseason. Left guard Senio Calamente got hurt during pregame warmups. He's out.
John McClain with us. You can join him, 615-737-1045. 615-737-1045, our number. Paul, you brought up that in the old school, quote-unquote, NFL, maybe the situation last week in Jacksonville is approached differently than what we actually witnessed.
So the Titans come into the game with 2 quarterbacks. Mariota already dinged up. Gabbert gets knocked out. And it's announced that he's out with a concussion. At that point, there were times where you covered this league where the mission of the defense would have been to give Marcus Mariota a concussion, putting 2 players out with a concussion and forcing the Titans to be without a guy who is a full-time quarterback. Those days apparently over, thankfully for Marcus's head, for sure.
In the old days, they would have taken some DMSO, which is illegal, and rubbed it all over Mariota's, wherever he was injured on his wrist. DMSO is a horse medicine that, when I started covering the league, and it smelled like crazy, players would put it on anything that was sore and say it was a miracle drug. Of course, now they eat hay, but back then they didn't care. And it worked. And another thing they would have done is, and think about this today when it comes to the roughing the passer penalties. Defensive linemen and linebackers, when they sacked the quarterback, were taught to pin the quarterback's arms to their side, take them to the ground, hopefully creating a shoulder separation that would get the quarterback out of the game, as opposed to just picking him up and throwing him on his shoulder, which was legal. So, yes, they would have done that. Without the Titans having the third one, they would have done everything they could to target Mariota's elbow and get him out of the game.
John, we discussed earlier in the show the roughing the passer penalties. Doubled the amount of flags so far through 3 weeks compared to last year. What is your take on where the league has this rule set right now and what needs to be done?
The thing about weight has been on the books for over 20 years. There was just a big outcry in the offseason to enforce it more. And a couple of them have been enforced. But if you think about this, if you're a pass rusher, say Clay Matthews, because he's been flagged three times, and you're going full speed after a quarterback and you got a shot at him and you got to think, okay, don't hit him with my head. Don't hit him in the head or neck area. And then you're taught to wrap up. Well, when you wrap up somebody, you come down on them. You come down on a running back or wide receiver, but you can't come down on a quarterback. And then when you do let go of your arms as you're going down, as Clay Matthews did, and you still get a flag. And one last night in which Bucs defensive tackle Gerald McCoy gets up the middle. I've seen this ground level, and I've seen it from the normal TV. And he hit Roethlisberger, and he held his hands up, and he didn't go down. Roethlisberger went down, and he stood up and went over him, and he got a penalty. I think next week they're saying that the competition committee is going to discuss this in a conference call. I believe that it'll be like the helmet rule in the preseason. They will clarify it, say they're not changing it, but clarify it, and then the officials will call a lot less. Remember, though, everything is about keeping the quarterbacks healthy. TV ratings are up right now and could be because you have exciting teams like the Rams and the Chiefs scoring a lot of points.
John, they got an exciting game last night on Monday Night Football. What do you think about the broadcast team so far, the new one? Joe Tessitore, Jason Witten, Booger McFarland, and the setup with Booger McFarland on the field.
I think Booger McFarland is doing a tremendous job. I remember when he was with the Buccaneers, he was a good quote, but he was dwarfed by Warren Sapp, who was a great quote. And McFarland, he's been doing radio and NFL Network, and I've just all along thought he did a good job. As far as the setup where you're putting him where you do, it's better than being in the end zone like they used to put Tony Siragusa, who was stealing money. But I think Booger McFarland's better than Jason Witten. I don't have a problem with Witten, but I think right now Booger McFarland is the star of the show.
It won't be long before he's in the booth. Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know why he's not in the booth. Why does everybody have to reinvent the wheel instead of just get good people, put them in there, and let them do their job?
Well, and it's confusing. I mean, they're having to identify who's speaking and toss down to get people's attention and set up things so people don't talk over each other. He'll be in the booth soon, I think.
It's pretty easy to identify Witten and McFarland. The key is, you're right, Jonathan, when you're new and you haven't done it, and you've got people in your ear telling you, okay, 10 seconds, you cannot talk over people, and you especially can't talk over the play-by-play guy.
Short week for the Buccaneers coming off Monday night. They're now at Chicago on Sunday, and then they have a bye. It would seem like Ryan Fitzpatrick would be a no-brainer up till then. October 14th in Atlanta. You suspect we're seeing Fitzpatrick or Winston?
I would imagine you guys are like me. You covered Fitzy, and you're amazed that he has done what he's done. And last night when he had the three interceptions, I'm like, aha, there's the real Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then he almost pulls that game out. And if Deshaun Jackson's return for a touchdown had not been wiped out, the Bucs would have had a remarkable comeback. There's no way they can put Jameis Winston in there right now. I saw a thing this morning that going back to the last six games each quarterback has played, Fitzpatrick has just blown away Winston. But I would stick with the hot hand. I believe Ryan Fitzpatrick is like a starting pitcher. As long as you're getting the job done, you're staying on the mound.
Paul, tell us about this article you found.
So Jason List.
John McClain with us, by the way.
Jason Lisk of the Big League.
By the way, Paul, thank you.
You're welcome. I retweeted the Mike Vrabel story as per his request.
Oh. Gotcha.
The Big Lead, Jason Lisk, writes a story, the declining NFL quality of play has been a talking point for 25 years, and he went back and found some great stuff, including this from John McClain in the Houston Chronicle in 1999. The NFL is competitive, and it can be interesting, but the quality of play has slipped significantly. As is the case with the other major professional sports, there are too many teams, and the product has been diluted. And not to be left just in one appearance in this column, John McClain from 1996. It says here the salary cap is ruining the NFL. It's becoming an inferior product. Financial restraints are killing teams that suffer an inordinate number of injuries and are forced to play too many young players and too many undrafted free agents who are fortunate to have jobs. The NFL isn't what it used to be, and we're not talking about 20 years ago. We're talking about 2 years ago. John, it's pretty interesting that you're one of several writers and columnists quoted in here, but over the last 25 years, Jason Lisk found people writing the same thing that people are writing now, yet the league has soldiered on.
It has, and I didn't know about that on the Big League. Thank you. I believe today we see a lot of guys that shouldn't be playing in the NFL forced into the lineup because of injuries, and teams are restricted. Like, I know it's good for quarterbacks, but when you used to have a good backup that you nurtured for years and they understood their role, if the starter got hurt, it was so much better. Now, I think the league is fun. I think it's competitive and exciting. I just don't think it's as good because there are just too many players having to play.
Let's go to the phone. 615-737-1045. Our number. Let's go to Brandon up on line one. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, guys. Hey, man, just calling up. I don't know, I called a couple of weeks ago. I'm the mailman that listens to your show like nonstop.
Awesome, thank you.
And I want to just make a couple of comments. I'll make it as quick as I can. They're all random. But the first thing, as a sports fan, the fact that football, obviously a contact sport, the fact that there are so many penalties on the quarterback getting hit, and I feel like, if, as a fan, it takes away from the whole experience of the game, you know, of the game and momentum. You know, if your defense is working their tail off to, you know, get the offense back the ball, and they come up with a good play, they hurry the quarterback and take him down. They throw a flag just because they tackle him. I just feel like the NFL is getting soft, and it's very disappointing. I feel like they really need to, you know, look into this whole contact on the quarterback deal. I mean, you know, I understand player safety, that's most important, but also it's a contact sport. It always has been. So, you know, they need to soften up a little bit on that rule. The second thing I wanted to say was I love the fact that I'm a Titans fan because we don't have to deal with the drama of star players, so to speak, having contract issues and holding out and taking away from, you know, the team sport of football. I love the fact that as a Titan fan, I don't have to worry about so-and-so trying to hold out on their contract or this and that and all this outside noise, you know, for our team that could – it really affects the team. I know they say they block it out, but it does affect the team when you're all doing the same job and guy wanting to make more money than you, but you, it's a team sport. You got one goal. That's to win the Super Bowl. And the fact that you're going to, you know, not come to practice or not do this and that just because you want more money, I just am glad to be a Titans fan because I don't have to worry about my team taken away from, you know.
Like when Taylor Lewan skipped the minicamp? You don't want to have to worry about something like that?
Well,
which was a play for more money?
You are right.
I'm just going to forget about that, pretend like it didn't happen? Chris Johnson.
I feel like we don't have that a lot.
It doesn't happen a lot.
Well, we don't have the Le'Veon Bell anymore. Here.
Le'Veon
sure.
Bell doesn't
you
happen
You want
a
guy
either.
That talented that would hold out. Trust me.
It was just a funny way to build up. I'm thankful to be a Titans fan, but and he started because with because we don't have any star players.
John, how does the Le'Veon Bell situation work itself out? Look at it from this perspective. Who wants to trade for Le'Veon Bell?
First of all, they cannot have him report for the last six games so he can get credit for the season. I think there would be too much bad blood because he'd be doing it just for the money. But he has to report unless he gets traded. And so I believe they run a list of teams that can handle it from a cap standpoint. If you traded this week, you'd pay him $12 million. Nobody, I don't think, unless you have a running back go down and you think a running back is the difference in a Super Bowl or a division title or maybe even a playoff appearance. But if I'm a team trading for him, I want to know that I'm signing him to a long-term agreement before that trade is made. So I've got to have permission to talk to his agent and get a deal done. He's not just coming for the rest of the season. He's going to be here for three or four. And one of the problems, he's been suspended twice. So if he gets suspended again, I think it'll be a 10-game suspension. So you want language in the contract to protect you. And I don't see him playing for the Steelers again. If they let him walk and they can lift the franchise tag, they'll get a third-round compensatory pick. Right now, could they get better than that? Knowing how, if you want him for 1 year, he's not interested in that. He's interested in staying healthy so he can get a big contract. So that's why you got to sign him to a long-term contract to make a trade.
Back to the phones. Taylor, go ahead,
right
John.
Quick. Excuse me, Jonathan. Watching Tampa last night, that would be a good destination.
I agree.
Because the Bucs are 2-1. Indy could use him, but I don't think Indy's going anywhere. The Jets are not going anywhere. If I was a bad team, it was going to be a loser. I don't think I would do that deal.
Taylor is next for John McClain. Hey, Taylor.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thank you, John. Always good to hear you. Whenever I hear you, that's when I call in. A couple things. Okay, buy or sell John Gruden, and why? I don't know, but tell me how much you think the Khalil Mack deal or the incident they had out there with Gruden not signing him, if that's affected the culture and if that's spilling over into the way that the Raiders are playing. Good to talk to you guys. Thank you much.
Taylor, thank you very much. I didn't think John Gruden and the Raiders were going to do very well. After the season, the general manager, Reggie McKenzie, will be gone. He's the one that drafted Amari Cooper, Derek Carr, Khalil Mack. He had a really good string of drafting after Al Davis died. Al Davis did not have a good track record of drafting later in his life. And so Reggie McKenzie will be out. They'll have a whole new personnel staff in there. And maybe they'll hit home runs with both of those number one picks from the Bears, but right now it's lopsided. Mag's playing great. The Bears are in first place.
Is it having an effect? It's having a direct effect on their pass rush, which their coach is bitching about.
So. And they've blown three leads in the second half to lose three games.
Paul, Gruden also did something on Sunday that I know that you hate. He didn't apply sunscreen.
Did you see
his head and his neck down in Miami at that game? Beet red, and he had the awful suntan line, also with the huge gold chain that he wears. It's an odd. He's got an odd look going on right now,
reflecting
with that
the sun.
Gold chain.
That gold chain's not unlike wearing one of those mirror collars around you, like when you're trying to tan in the 1980s. Something about Mary, the woman had that.
He looks like an Aryan Mr. T out there with that gold chain on.
That is a Las Vegas look, and remember it.
That's right.
Brian is our next caller for John McClain. Hey, Brian.
Hey, boys, what's happening? First of all, y'all were talking about Jason Witten. I wish somebody would cut those imaginary strings that are holding his arms up and just strap the guy down in a chair, man. The guy looks so uncomfortable. I think ESPN did the guy a disfavor by placing him in such a big role so early. I think he needed some time to maybe working in college or something, get some experience before putting somebody like that in a huge role like that. But I know that was one of the reasons he retired, was to go into the booth. But, you know, y'all were just talking about Khalil Mack, and that's why I wanted to call in. John, going into this trade, I was pleasantly surprised to see that Chicago did anything, because notoriously they've been cheap in paying anybody or making big-time trades in this situation. And going in, I was kind of upset that they gave up what they did. But thinking back, they just released Kevin White, one of their first-round draft picks. Do you ever recall someone coming in trade-wise, defensively speaking, because I know a lot of times quarterbacks are big players, but do you remember anybody recently who came in and had such a huge impact on the team? This Bears team looks totally different offensively and defensively. I know the coaching had something to do with that, but do you recall somebody having such a huge impact starting out for a team, since you're speaking of
Jared Allen
in the first place? Hey, Brian, real quick. Go, yeah. Go Braves. Go Braves.
Hey, man. Okay? Dude, I was going to ask you, did you go streaking in the quad?
I did not. I just wanted to drop that Go Braves in there real quick. Hey, go ahead, man. John.
Jared Allen had a big impact after he was traded from the Chiefs to the Vikings, I believe, for two ones. And the other one I can remember was the defensive lineman from the Rams who ran for the union president. And I've forgotten his name. The Redskins gave up, and it did not work out at all. Ricky Williams cost two number one picks in Miami. The second one was a conditional pick that if he led the league in rushing, it went from like a two to a one. And was Ricky Williams worth it to the Dolphins? I don't think so. You know, we're three games into the season. We have to see how it plays out. In fairness to the Raiders, you know, they may draft two Hall of Famers. And you, if you're a Raiders fan, you have no options other than to wait and see. The moves, I believe Gruden went in there, looked at the roster, didn't like it, said we're going to have to rebuild, and the rebuild to be good by the time we get to Vegas, and who can we trade? Derek Carr's contract after next year, they can get out of it and not be a big cap hit. What if he decides he does not think Carr is the quarterback for him?
Good luck finding an alternative. I mean, this idea that fans have it in spades, but some of these coaches have it. Like, well, not my guy. I'm going to go out and find my own quarterback. Good luck. There are fewer and fewer of them. You got a guy with a good arm and a good head on his shoulders, Carr. Hutton and I have been big on Carr since he made an appearance here. He's got a skill set that can win in the NFL. If there's some things about him you don't like, you know what? Change.
And they have to get Amari Cooper the football, too. He's been used as a decoy way too much, and that goes back to last year's staff. 615-737-1045, our number. John McClain is with us. Greg and Vic, you guys will lead us off with John in just a moment. And you can join John McClain to take it anywhere you'd like to across the NFL. 615-737-1045, our number. It is the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's.
Pack up the crew and head out to Talladega Super Speedway for race weekend, October 12th through 14th. Ticket holders for the 1000bulbs.com 500 can enjoy free camping in three different campgrounds around the track. This is more than a race. This is Talladega.
Classic but modern, simple yet intricate. It's your new favorite salon, and it's right around the corner. Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Cool Springs on Mallory Lane, just north of Cool Springs Boulevard, next to Kroger. As for the King's Treatment, a precision haircut, invigorating scalp, neck, and shoulder massage, hot towel treatment, and hot leather neck shave. Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Cool Springs on Mallory Lane, just north of Cool Springs Boulevard, next to Kroger. Walk in anytime, 7 days a week. At Lady Jane's, we believe success favors the well-groomed. Lady James in Cool Springs. It's wicked awesome.
The day after the Vols play just got better with Dunkin' Donuts. Every Sunday throughout the regular season, DD Perks members can score a free medium hot or iced coffee at participating Tennessee locations when they pay with a DD Perks enrolled card. Download the app today and enroll. Vol fans win with Dunkin'. Excludes cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Low T Center is reinventing men's healthcare. Gentlemen, do you know your numbers? You may know your blood pressure and cholesterol, but you need to know your testosterone and prostate numbers too. I recommend getting your levels checked at Low T Center. It's quick, easy, and they specialize in men's health. Most insurance is even accepted. Call 615-933-2780. That's 615-933-2780. Or go to lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Fast is the nation's largest gig speed network. Beyond Fast is the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup. That means whether you're downloading big files, swiping credit cards, or emailing your sales team or customers, your business can go on even if the power goes out. When you're a business owner, you need speed and reliability. For a limited time, make the switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond AT&T. Get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month when you add two voice mobility lines. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offer ends 11/21/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours.
Hey, Tennessee. GEICO presents Need to Know Information, because you have to draw the line between what you need to know and what you don't.
When I spell Wednesday, I have to say Wednesday in my head, or I will spell it wrong every single time.
See, didn't need to know that. But when it comes to insurance, the more you know, the better. Like knowing GEICO is the second largest auto insurer in the country. Plus, they've been around for over 75 years and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Whenever I tip someone at the food truck, I wait for them to watch me before I put in the money.
Again, not really needed, but knowing GEICO offers more than just car insurance is important, like motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. And the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you insure your home, apartment, and condo.
Well, last night I finished off a family-sized serving of chips. Hey, I'm a family of one.
And not needed. But you should know GEICO has local agents in your area that could help you find even more ways to save. And GEICO offers emergency roadside service. Switching insurance is an important decision. You can never know too much about it. So, Tennessee, contact GEICO online, over the phone, or at your local office for all the information you really need.
Every day, professional landscapers have miles to go and acres to mow. These hardworking pros put extreme demands on their equipment. Now you can enjoy the same dependability with Toro Walk and Zero Turn mowers. At Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply, we offer a wide range of mowers from one of the best performing brands in the business, Toro, built tough to last. With consistent performance and easy maintenance for as long as you own your Toro, count on it. Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply is your local Middle Tennessee Toro dealer. 7 convenient locations or DickensSupply.com.
1045thezone.com, your home for The Zone online. Read the Big Six blog, register for contests, find out what will be in your area, and catch up anything you might have missed with the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical podcast. Find out how to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Download our mobile app and listen online. You'll find everything you need to keep up with The Zone, all in one place, at 1045thezone.com.
Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. John McClain is with us. John, let's go rapid fire phones, and let's start with Vic. What's up, Vic?
Hey, guys. The last time I called into a sports talk show, I was worried about being on hold running out my talk minutes. So it's been a long time since I've
Welcome to Unlimited.
That's right. Welcome. Paul, appreciate your tweet the other day. Your wife wrote a very beautiful letter, and I think that inspired a lot of people. So I want you to know our prayers is with you as a family. So
thank you.
Yes, sir. John, I went to a dinner with you a long time ago in Heimerdinger when you were up at the top talking, and back then I had hair and you still didn't. So it's been a long time. I've got a question for you about the refs. I'm not just one of these guys that's blaming the refs. I just, knowing refs personally, I know that the refs have to go back and be graded. So just for the general audience that might not understand a lot of stuff, and I want you to sort of take up on this subject a little bit, as you know, refs go back and get graded for their games, and the last thing a ref would want to do is not call something that caused somebody great harm. You know, so it's almost like the refs also have to be afraid of not making a call that could possibly harm a quarterback. So it's almost like they're overly cautious, not just because of what the rules are, but because they, as a ref, have to go get graded, and if they get down graded or whatever, then that loses their chance to, you know, maybe be promoting a team, maybe a Super Bowl one day and stuff like that. So I'd like to hear your comments on that kind of stuff.
Well, that's a great point, Vic. You're exactly right. They're calling what they believe their bosses and the league once called based on the rules. They don't make them, and they don't change the rules, and they're supposed to follow them, and they're supposed to be overly cautious when it comes to protecting quarterback. Every week, they do get graded, and those grades play out to determine who does the playoffs and the Super Bowl. Great point.
I don't think that the – I mean, sure, you want playoff games in the Super Bowl, but if you're Jerome Boger and you haven't gotten a playoff assignment in 4 years, I thought you were supposed to cycle out in that time. I don't think it's a big enough detriment.
It's not an assignment. You have to be graded to a level to where you could – receive an assignment.
So he could receive one, but there's so many good refs that they didn't give him one.
Maybe not enough games for all the officials. I don't know.
We think that many officials graded that well?
I do know. Well, I remember this being an issue a couple of years ago, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, but on those playoff games, they send a backup official on those trips, and you have to grade a certain level to be an alternate as well. And if you don't grade at a certain level for 3 consecutive years, you're essentially fired. That's the way it was explained to me.
Yes.
I think people would just like it better if there were Look, I don't think it fixes the system, but if the punishment is something more, I don't know. A lot of people seem to want it comparable to players. You're fined or you're suspended. You know, the same things are applied to you. I know that doesn't necessarily fix it, but I think it makes a lot of America feel
Isn't
better.
Isn't part of the punishment shame?
Yeah, shame. Have
if
a press
it's public
conference.
Out
that's
there
what I
that
think.
You got a D-minus grade for your officiating. I mean, that's.
I think shame is underused. I've said this time and time again. We should be shaming more people on stuff like this. And I think they should. The transparency to me would start with the press conference. There are 3 teams on the field every Sunday. 2 of them have to stand up and answer for everything they did, the other one sneaks out.
I think, though, my biggest issue is not with the officials anymore. It's with the rules.
Park Avenue.
Yeah, and Park Avenue is saying that the officials are getting these calls correct. So, at least the ones I have issue with.
And I agree with you. I'm all about competition committee recommends them, and the NFL owners are the ones that vote on them.
Greg is next up for John McClain. Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Wonderful.
Hey, I hope you guys can touch on 2 things. One is the reason the NFL is dying to me is Sunday at 3 o'clock. Noon, I had 1 game option. And 3 o'clock, I have 1 more game option unless I want to change cable providers. And that Dallas game's no good, so I just chose to turn the TV off and move on. On Saturday, I've got options everywhere. The other
thing
you
need them because they're a bunch of 50 to 10 games, and you got to be able to flip around.
But I've got them. The NFL, I have no other option. The other thing
it's always been that way.
Well, yeah, but in this day and age where everybody wants options and options are out there everywhere, it's just different. Also, John, if you talk about the players not being as good nominees players available, what's your answer? Is it contraction or removing the salary cap and just expanding the roster? I'd be interested to see what you say about that. Thanks, guys.
They won't do that. You know, the salary cap's not going to change because the owners are making a lot of money and players are making more money than they've ever made. My point has always been that, and another thing, college programs don't produce enough quarterbacks and now they're not producing enough offensive linemen. And with the restrictions they have on working based on the last collective bargaining agreement, these offensive linemen could be working hard and hitting in the off season. And because few of them get down in a 3-point stance in college, it's all about pass protection. So they need time to develop, and they're having to develop on the fly and creating an inferior product. But because it's successful and the ratings are good and they make money, nothing's going to change. I just like to see them suit up 53 for every game instead of 46.
I like Bill Belichick's argument on this, and he's in favor of it as it is or not much bigger because he's worried about over-specialization, and he wants guys who are – he wants you to have to be a pretty good overall football player to warrant a roster spot on game day. I just thinking while you're talking about the offensive line there, and I know this is different, and it's the player's fault because it's all they could win in the CBA, quote-unquote win. But we saw John – the Titans defensive backs stay in Nashville for a large share of the offseason and work together. What if somebody that had a great offensive line leader, what if Taylor Lewan said to the Titans line, after this season. Let's all stay in Nashville and let's work together. And our coach, Keith Carter can't be here with us, but we know what they're asking us to do. We're going to get together and drill every day and work and lift and do those kind of things. I don't know that any offensive line's chosen to do that, and they're not contractually bound to do it, but I wonder if somebody did it, how much of an advantage they'd have.
I think that would be great. That's a tremendous idea. Maybe some of them do it. The players want their time off. That's what they got in negotiation. And they do work out, and it works out on their bodies and conditioning, but I'll guarantee you they're not over there banging on each other. You know, they technically could go hire some out of if Taylor Lewan wanted to, I believe he could go hire an out-of-work offensive line coach and say, hey, we need you to come over here and oversee this and show him what they want done and have him oversee them. And have, as long as it had nothing to do with the team, they could do anything they wanted.
Yeah. John, news coming out just over the last few hours. Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer will become the first female duo to call NFL games for Amazon Prime, starting with their coverage of 11 Thursday night football games. What do you think about that move?
I think it's tremendous. Andrea Kramer, who grew up in Philadelphia with Eagle posters all over her room. She was such a football nut, just won the Pete Rozelle Award, which she's on a plaque in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And Hannah Storm, who started here as a shock jock sports employee at an FM radio station and worked her way up. I can't think of any two more deserving.
John, we always enjoy having you on, and on Friday we'll have you on to preview Week 4, Ravens, Steelers, Chiefs, Broncos. I know the Texans are at Indy, Titans have the Eagles, Jacksonville has the Jets, so plenty to discuss.
Guys, I appreciate it very much. I look forward to talking to you Friday.
All right. John McClain, twice a week with us right here on the Midday 180.